two, and both guys go out, so.
There you go.
Oh, how much would it make for that rack?
What was that?
Less clear.
No.
So, I think that's one of the roads.
This is it? Okay, we'll go ahead and call the meeting to order. We have a quorum, in fact, the whole board. We're one shy of our number right now, but the whole board is essentially here to count it for us. I'd like Andy, could you please get an indication as well?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to be here this afternoon, and we just ask that you guide us and lead us in the direction that you would have. In our holy name we pray, amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call.
Harry Crawford.
Here.
Randy Quinn.
Here.
Andy Lazar.
Here.
Phil Pett.
Here.
Jeff Long.
Thank you very much, Peter. We have a consideration of the minutes Thursday, June 28th. Copy of the email, copy should have in front of you. For any additions, deletions, or corrections?
Move for approval.
And a motion for approval?
Second.
Second. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Unfinished business, I see none. Maybe we'll just see your pal Jeff.
Oh, Cal Jet Center, I was expecting to be here today.
They're not.
We placed in front of you their business proposal. Similar to what was reported in the newspaper a couple weeks ago, Cal Jet Center has made an offer to purchase the remaining lease contract that Landmark Aviation has with the city of Cal. Their business plan is provided to you. If Cal Jet was here, I'd introduce them and give them an opportunity to speak of their proposals and introduce themselves, I guess, officially to the board. Schedule-wise, staff is going to meet next Wednesday to discuss their proposal, and we'll comment appropriately and take it to the next level. If we have to hold a special meeting because of time deadlines, keep that in consideration. We'll be contacting you to do something in the next few weeks. That's the direction the city manager wants to go with it. So, in the meantime, I'd open it up to any questions.
Any questions?
I think without digesting this, we're just spinning our wheels.
No, I think that's a good point, and you know, we have to kind of let it go through the course. Really, I don't know really totally what they're offering here, so first time I've seen it as well. Is this new?
It is. Well, yes.
July 23rd, yes, sir.
Yeah, they dropped it off on Monday.
23 days old, so they might have a chance to get that.
Yeah, I just really cracked it open today as well. I just got back from the Florida airport.
We'll leave that in the base and see what happens next. Airport director's report.
All right. Basically, the airport director's report is essentially Engineer Appreciation Day. We've got two presentations from our presentation chief and I. I guess first to start out, let's go with Bob Overby from Parks and Rec. Mr. Overby is going to talk about the master plan and runway 826.
You can go to the next slide.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm Bob Wolfies, Arsenage. Been with Matt for many, many years on your tower and your landlord rehabilitation. Here today just to talk about two things. One is a master plan update. This is a project that has been long coming at the airport. It's been probably 10 years since we've gone through the full-fledged master plan update. Over the years on various projects, we've updated the airport layout plan sheet. Done some minor updates to the actual text document. We believe a year ago we updated the forecast model. We're talking about the leasehold agreement with on the west side. That's been it. So looking ahead for this master plan update, which Matt is we're almost ready to go. Talking to the FAA to get their grant final application set for that. And I guess there's three things just to talk about. For that, as I said before, it's been a while since we've had an update, so we will have all new airport plan sheets. Recently, we've just been updating the main airport layout plan sheets for new items that have been built, changes as far as what the airport's looking for. This will be a new set of sheets. The actual document, the text, the vision for the airport, what the future plans are going to be, that will be updated. And also part of this, which you haven't had, which is a disadvantaged business enterprise plan. Essentially, anytime you have AIP funding for a project, there is a DBE goal that the FAA requires for that. Ocala, the airport, hasn't had that. It's a small portion of this, which we will establish general goals for all the projects. For the actual document, preparing, there will be a series of meetings telling where we're at, give you recommendations, input for the document. And now, when we start, which will be sometime in August, we actually get the notice to proceed, funding in place, we're looking at about a year to complete that document. That's really where we're at now, since we're beyond that, waiting for the notice to proceed. But to give you an idea, that's what's going to happen for the next year or so with the master plan.
All right. In front of you is the FAA grant agreement that was just provided to us on the master plan. The FAA grant is $266,000. We're expecting an FDOT matching grant of $14,812, and our city match is another $14,812. And I don't have the FDOT grant in hand, but I spoke with District 5 the past few days. They've been out of the office. They're processing it. We should get it here shortly. I would put it to the board to approve the FAA grant and the expected FDOT grant in those amounts. And that way, when we get it, I'll be able to jump right in and get it to the city council right away with your backing.
I have one question. In light of the recent, I haven't talked to anybody at the city council in a few days, in light of the recent articles about cutting budgets and those kinds of things. The airport, do we not have, we have money in our own account. We've got the matching funds available on our side of the ledger to do this. So there's no impact as far as that's concerned.
We do. And this comes out of our fund balance, which is, it goes up and down, but right now it's approximately $300,000. The FDOT grant actually, their program is to match FAA grants. So they have our obligation to be able to FAA. But we've got the funding.
Can I move the approval of the
second?
Second, the grant from the FAA. So that you want it subject to receiving the FDOT grant? Or even if you don't get it, is your recommendation we do it?
Yeah, even if we don't get the FDOT grant, it would be my recommendation to do it.
Then also move that you would.
Either
way. Move to approve the FAA grant, regardless of whether we get the DOT matching grant.
But you feel confident about that?
Oh, yes. Yes.
And we got a second?
Yep, second.
Okay, any further discussion or questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Excellent. Thank you. All right, on to the 826.
Right, I'm running 826. I'm sorry. That's going forward. Kind of history. That's what I'm talking about. How we got to the road to work. Next one. All right. Runway 826. This is end of May. My friend was Matt called me. He said, hey, we got a lot of cracks. I need to sit for some
Terry's landing.
Yeah.
The chairman makes it up pretty good.
So Matt called me up. I think it came down in the next couple days. We took a walk the runway. He had a set up some Monday morning. He thought we could look at possibly repairing the cracks. We looked at it, and as you can see in the photographs, I was just looking at the size of the pan. These are big cracks, deep cracks, and kind of measuring it off. Essentially, there are three paving lines, both cracks go 3,000 feet. Every 8 to really 16 feet the other way, all along the runway. So it's in pretty rough shape. And these cracks, although they've been there in the last few years, they've really, for whatever reason, really come to fruition in recent times. So when we were talking about it, and Matt's initial thought was, can we do a joint fill on this project so we have additional money for this project? And then looking at it, that's something we could have done. But quite honestly, it was that throwing the money away, kind of abandoning on it. It might have given you a year, but it would have been one of those things that's condition of that runway, crack sealing, it would have been throwing the money away. Quite honestly, that's what it would be. So I went back to the office and came up with a couple options of crack joint seal it, mill and overlay. Mill the joints up, which is similar to what we did in 826, where you had foot length cracks and we milled out 2 feet. Full depth, paved back over that, fill the cracks in, and then you know, overlay. Looking at different options, but understanding the limitations on the budget, Matt then said, all right, let me talk to Jim Wickstrom from DOT and see what we can come up with. And with Matt's discussion with Jim decided or came up with an extra money we could do, use for this project, which is where the DOT funding comes in. So based on our conversation, Matt was then able to get additional funding, which is what we'll need. Next slide, Matt. And what we decided to do is something called cold in place recycling. And what that essentially does, you have a milling machine, they will mill the first 2 inches of asphalt, which we have. For this project, about 3 inches of the lime rock, it's going to be blended back in, placed back down, and then after that, we're going to do an overlay. What that will do is, I'll talk about it shortly, is, you know, as far as green, it's very sustainable, it's more cost effective. And especially for this kind of runway, it's going to give you the end product that you want without having a full reconstruction. It's very much more cost effective. And talking about the options we looked at, if we were going to do mill and overlay, about $800,000, give or take. I mean, magnitude of cost, there's some judgment factors in there, but about $800,000. To mill the joints, as I said before, looking at about $175,000. The crack seal, which would be the quickest thing to do, you're still looking at $300,000 to fill the cracks in, to do all the effort, and then to pull it in place. My estimate is $500,000. That includes everything. That's our time, it's inspection time, construction cost, and in reality, that should be much lower when it comes down to it. But that's pretty much what we budgeted for on this project. And that dollar amount is what the DOT has come up with the funding to do this project. So this is what we're going to do with the project, is a cold in place recycling. This train down here, this is a kind of idea of what you're going to have. When they start the project, they'll have a tanker truck, a milling machine, and a paver. Tanker truck's the first item. It's all connected together. The tanker is going to inject liquid, new liquid, back into the milling machine. So as they mill it, liquid gets replaced into this material that's been milled out, and that directly goes into the paving machine. So it's one clean operation when they do this project. And whatever is there now is put back in. So you're not going to have, you're not going to mill and have, you know, 2,000 tons of old aggregate taken off site. So that's kind of the sustainable aspect of it. It reduces your waste, reduces the trucks and equipment that are going to be on the roads, and it significantly reduces the asphalt cost because you have less material. It's going to reduce that project. So we're excited we're doing this, and also, next slide, Matt, talk about the schedule. You think about we're doing the runway, what's the actual construction time for this? And this is also fairly conservative in terms of talking to the contractors and what we may have. The cold in place recycling process, I say 4 to 5 days. They're really thinking maybe 3. So it's actually go through, mill it, mix it back up, put it back down. I say 4 to 5 days, so less than a week, that aspect of it's done.
These are all 12-hour shifts?
Yes, I mean, yes. Normal day, we're not meeting. When we do the project, the runway is shut down, it's a contract, because obviously if you're tearing up the pavement, nobody's mind in the aircraft on it. But at that point, A236 is open, no impacts to that. A26, the process is 4 to 5 days to call the place recycling. This now does have a cure time. Before we place the 2 inches of new pavement on top, we'll get 3 to 5 days. The overlay, depending on what the contractor does, it's 2 days. In reality, if they wanted to come up and get it done in 1 day, it's 2,000 tons, they could do it. It's just whether or not they want to bring manpower out for this as a project. It's immediately after we put the overlay down, we get two options. We can put the temporary marking down. That's just a simple, very light coat of the markings for that, so we can open the runway up. And then 30 days after that, and the pavement has cured for 30 days. And the reason we do the cure for 30 days is put the oven markings down immediately afterwards. The asphalt will permeate through this discolored markings that doesn't last as long. So we wait 30 days to put the final markings down. That'll take 1 day, and at that time, your runway's open. So in such 45 days, from start to finish, 826 is done, new pavement down, new markings, and you're good for another 15, 20 years. So this is a process that stops the process. It has been done on quite a bit. It's a little bit newer to airports, but it has been done on numerous airports throughout Florida. It's much more cost effective in terms of sustainability. That's something that, you know, the airport can definitely start to advertise in terms of the city of what we're doing at the airport. So it's a good project, it's an exciting project, and you know, Matt's work with DOT has really helped out getting that funding. Next slide, Matt. Just to give kind of where we're at design-wise, and it's kind of hard to see this, but essentially, talking about what I had before, I'll give a copy of stuff, but we milled the 2 inches out, 3 inches of lime rock, so you're dropping down 3 inches, come back with the compacting plate recycling, the 2 inch overlay, and now when we would do the actual CIR process, it moved in with a liquid, it'll raise its current surface by 1/2 inch to 3/4 inch, and then we'll tie back into existing taxiways. Taxiways are in good shape, so aside from the connecting portion of it, we're not going to touch the taxiways. And next slide now. Design-wise, we're pretty far along with the design, and we'll have 60-90% of that shortly. You can see the color portion of it. This is really the limits of what we're tying back in your taxiways. And granted, presentation, but that is where we're at connecting, and we're very close minimizing the actual work for that. Next slide now. And this one, this shows the grade, final grades that we have for the project. We're, again, we're close to being at 90%. I think I have a schedule on the next slide. For this project, we had the notice to proceed on July 5th, or June 5th. The survey, which was provided by the city, original schedule showed that to be 45 days. The city finished that in less than a week, so that is done. The 90% design, I intend on having that team map review on the 10th of August. 30 days, give or take, after that, with review time, take us to the end of September for the bid set. Bidding and award, 60 days. Worst case scenario, we can be on construction in January. That's worst case scenario. If we can push this bidding process through, we can really start this project in the fall, maybe get it done by the end of the year. But that's one we'll start to, if we get the final bid documents, talking with Matt in the airport, see if we can get the permit. That's where we're at for this project. Are there any questions? Yes, sir.
Matt talked about it a little bit, and it was a subject that had come up in the past. Put the runway 75 feet?
It's 50 feet.
75 feet makes it a more operable runway. But one thought was to look at it and see if we could maybe get some more runway.
When we talked to Jim, Mr. and Seabass, for the group aircraft you have, 60 feet is the standard. Now, yes, it could be extended 10 feet. If we do that, that will trigger drainage effects. So you might want to touch on that. But for this project right here, 50 feet, no overlay, it's the cleanest way to do it. If we want to go an extra 10 feet, that can definitely be done. But there's going to be cost impact to that.
I don't know if there's any advantage for that. But I know before we ran into the, at one point in time, we can dig the whole runway up and move it. So we've gone through with the splice threshold and everything that's happened up here a lot over a few years. So one of the things that when we got through with all that, the FAA left the runway where it was. They displaced the threshold and made the runway safety area work and everybody was happy again without tearing the runway. And but the problem was, they said, we won't put any more money into the runway because it's a substandard runway. Well, so what's allowed this to happen where we can...
Because this is FDOT funding. The FAA is not participating.
Okay.
If the FAA was participating, then you're definitely correct. Then you're going to be an issue.
So the advantage,
will this get it?
The advantage of getting a little bit more width in the future would be getting us to where we would be able to extend it or get...
With 826, you have a couple of different things. One, yes, it's not standard. There were some issues with the safety area. But the big item, unless it's changed, I don't think it has, is the wind coverage. Based on the winds, the FAA doesn't acknowledge the need for cross coverage.
Yeah, it's the wind coverage. And that's one of the reasons the control tower is such a great asset, too, because they can keep track of the operations on it. When we spoke with FDOT about widening to 60 feet, the money isn't there right away. If the bids come in, great. And there's some extra funding in there. We could look at doing that, widening it out to 60 feet. And we'll have to revisit that once the bids come in. It is possible. It is possible.
And I'll ask for this runway, if the funding did come in, that is something we could work with contractor and change order that.
It's a change order.
It's a change order, clearly, because it's additional pavement, it's additional work. Because if this process, it's no work, it's one, it's a train of a tanker, a truck, and then a machine in a favor, that paid machine afterwards. There's no earthwork, there's no demolition of anything. But what is it for this project, that kind of a change order is more feasible because there are no edge lights. There is no drainage pipe across that runway. So that the construction aspect of it is minimal.
That still is being thought of. Yeah, I mean, that's what, so that's good. That was all I was asking.
It is. And what we are going to do, we're going to drop in two PVC conduits across it, so any event you do get lights, that's there, so we do it, carefully.
Good.
Put them in Cat M's.
Yeah.
So in the future, then, if we did have need for federal funding, once we got to that point, and we could justify it, we would have something to work with.
Yes. And even if, if we keep it at 50 feet, that doesn't change. It's a standard crossbow, you can have 5 feet on both sides. That would be the easiest, if we wanted to, we could have the crown of the pavement offset out of 25 feet, so you could extend 10 feet on one side. But my preference, from an engineering perspective, let's do it so we have a 10-foot widening on each side, and not something awkward in the event that it never does happen.
Over the years, I've observed some pretty good-sized airplanes using it when the wind was really howling.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, the more wind you got, the better opportunity you get to get off of that. But it does serve a purpose, maybe not every day.
Any more questions?
So, thank you very much.
Now, I'd like to introduce GPI. Yes. GPI was tasked to conduct the stormwater master plan on the airport. This essentially is going to look at all areas on the airport, both aviation and non-aviation. Take a look at their drainage basins, consolidate a lot of the existing stormwater permits that we have on the airport, and combine that with future development, put it all into one big plan. And the books that were presented to you, I think earlier this week, is the preliminary stormwater master plan.
Thanks, sir.
And we've got Alan Gary.
Yes, Gary.
Okay, Alan Gary and Skip Hardy from GPI. They're going to talk about some of the particulars.
Thank you, Matt. Good afternoon, Jim, and I'm Skip Harvey. I'm the branch manager of the local office at GPI here in Ocala. And We have just a few slides to show you this afternoon. Don't be intimidated by the books that you have in front of you. There's a lot of computer printouts and analysis and things that are in there. The meat of the report is, if you haven't been into it yet, is in the first 20 or so pages. Our objective today really is to explain to you what's in our scope of work, what we're doing, and certainly to solicit any input that you would provide to us today or in the coming weeks. As Matt said, we're looking at the entire airport property, aviation, non-aviation, all the way out to the limits of the adjoining roads here. And this project really was initiated in the city's public works department. And after that initiation, all of the city departments are participating in the review process, and meetings are going on. City staff suggested that we come to the advisory board to what brought us here today to get input to let you know where we are. We're about halfway through this process right now. You all have a copy of the slides that we're going to talk about. Also with us today, we have Wilbur Thurian from Coyle Tanner. He's here. He's our FAA expert. We're not airport consultants. We have done a lot of city and county work in a number of different places. We want to make sure that the work we're doing, you know, met with FAA requirements and permits and those types of things. That's what we're being charged. And admittedly, looking at it at a broad scope, we're thinking of, you can go to the next slide, Matthew Wisley, future development and how that would happen at the airport, whether it's on the aviation side or the non-aviation side. We're identifying topography in low areas where stormwater basins naturally would occur, and looking at future basins and how those could be interconnected, minimized, consolidated, so that we're not ending up, as development occurs at the airport, with a number of small basins. If there's an opportunity to consolidate it, put the city in a better position to attract future development here, like I say, either on the aviation or the non-aviation side. We are getting input from the American Fresh Farms development, which I'm sure you all have heard about. It's going through the city at this point. As I mentioned, looking at joint use facilities. And we're going to develop alternate scenarios. The objective is to create a very flexible tool here for the city to have in the future, so that if somebody wants to come in and develop this area, and it's a little bit different than some of the assumptions that we've made here, which are very conservative assumptions as far as development is concerned, that's a little bit different. That information for that development could be incorporated into the model, rerun the model fairly easily, and see how it changes the overall picture. So this would be a tool that the city can use for many years to come as things change, look at alternatives, like I say, on either side of the aviation, non-aviation side. Next slide, just to give you some of the main points of our scope of work, and I won't spend a lot of time on this. We spent a good bit of time collecting data that the city had, survey data, existing permits, got as much use out of all of that information as possible. Matt provided us the latest AOP, which I guess is, at that point, wasn't approved yet, Matt, but now maybe it has been FAA approved. Is that correct? Or?
No, actually, we haven't. The AOP that we submitted as part of the land swap, land release with American Fresh Farms. We never got a signed copy back from the FAA, but it still shows existing conditions, which is cool.
Right. And then future pavement, future development, mostly from the aviation side.
Future development on the aviation side is not going to change much. I mean, the non-aviation stuff, that's pretty fluid.
Right. We've done a lot of computer analysis, we have some more to do. And this preliminary master plan is what you have in front of you this afternoon, based on input we received from all the city departments, comments, additional analysis, we'll issue a final master plan in the coming months. We'll have scheduled a presentation to the city council of that final master plan. And one task that you see here is a conceptual permit in the water management district. And that will set ground rules for all the analysis and everything that we do. And then as developments come in, there will be permit applications made for that piece of property, and there will be a modification of the permit, of the conceptual permit, that will be issued, and that will be how it's tracked for development as things change and go forward in the future. Any questions, please stop us as we go through here. That's the first two slides. Now, a little bit more on the technical side of it, my colleague Alan Gary will cover the next two slides, please.
Like I was just saying, our objectives were kind of twofold here. One, the one providing airport property, proper aviation, non-aviation. With the means for stormwater control, as the non-aviation and the aviation side get built out as well. And two, we wanted to provide a simplified method for stormwater permitting, so that each time somebody new comes in, they don't have to go to the district and get a completely different ERP. The city, through this conceptual permit that we're going to apply for SWIFA, and with this master plan that we're making, is going to have a means of accounting for stormwater that's generated in these basins that have been broken out. What the first step we did was to get, consolidate, and obtain as much existing data on the airport as we could. Soil moorings, pipe locations, amount of impervious area, contours, the new road that's gone in, 67th. As much information as we could get, broke out where the existing drainage basins are. So where are the high points in the airport property? Some of them are man-made, some of them are natural. As you go out west of the airport property, you got more natural contours out there, it's not developed yet. On the aviation side of it, the eastern side of the airport, that's where the existing SWIFA ERP permits are, and that's where a lot of the man-made contours are that's delineated by the taxiways and the parking and the runways. So once we had the existing information laid out, we looked at consolidating. Where can we consolidate? Where can we combine basins? And we found 51 existing basins. So we were able to consolidate them into 26 proposed basins. So in the post-development condition, you're going to have about half, 25, 26 basins in the developed condition. Now the city requests one of our design criteria was to allow 80% impervious area in as many of these basins as possible. So you're allowed to have a build out at 80% impervious, 20% being grass, 80% being concrete.
Can I interrupt you? Sure. Who's going to construct the basins?
The basins will be constructed as the parcels are developed. There's a certain amount of mass grading that's going to be needed. And so as you have these industrial, there's three main areas that we're looking at. Commercial on the State Road 40 side of the airport, industrial on the Southwest 67th side or the western side, and then aviation on the 60th side. So as the three individual areas are developed, developer comes in, wants 100 acres. He's responsible for that 100 acres and making his stormwater get to the defined load for the basin that 100 acres is in.
So he's got to construct the basin if it's not constructed, which may benefit other properties. So
right,
he's going to have some cost sharing.
Right, and there's going to be a plan. They're going to know, all right, you know, I've got an approximate elevation I need to hit of 84 feet, and I need to slope my parking lots and whatever else that I just got to drain this direction to the basin load.
Is that drawn on the thumb drive?
This one? No, this is too huge.
It wouldn't be an intricacy.
That's why we probably have a map. If we tried to put it up there, it would it wouldn't be legible, so if anybody's interested, you can, I mean, encourage you to get up.
This is one more step, I should have made this point before. This is one more step that the city's taking, similar to the construction of 67th through here, and bringing the construction of water sewer availability. So this will identify stormwater master plan areas. The city might elect to build one of them if it is part of the negotiation with the future developer. That could be something that's on the table that says, okay, we need a basin here, cost sharing and those types of alternatives certainly would be out there. This will provide the guidance for doing that.
One of our other tasks, in addition to breaking out the proposed basins, was to keep aviation and non-aviation separate, water included. The stormwater from non-aviation side, the basins do not cross over into the aviation side.
So is there a reason for that?
It was a design parameter that we were asked to try to meet. It's not a SWIFMA requirement.
Just a sort of mixing of aviation and non-aviation properties. So that, there's aviation property that says, oh, this aviation property is being used up for non-aviation stormwater. We thought that was a good, maybe political reason, I suppose, to separate the two.
There's a certain amount of real estate out here around the airside part of the airport. It's obviously much more valuable than other parts.
Exactly.
So keeping as many DREs out of there so that you can build hangars and do things or whatever.
Certainly.
Becomes long-term.
That's exactly the kind of input that we want from whoever can give it to us. We have presented this information on a preliminary basis to city staff, including Matt. They've given us some feedback and said, okay, it's okay to put a basin here or here or here, but don't put it in these other areas. So
what are the reasons? You know, you've got different methodology of valuing non-aviation property compared to not to aviation property. So if you're exporting water from non-aviation, putting it on aviation, then and you're charging that non-aviation entity, we didn't want to get in that confusing setup there.
Well, water. Is there any concern about jet fuel or oil or those kind of things?
Actually, there's
on the other side where industrial people can use
water. Full of water.
Yeah, Matt, we were in the presentation, we said a presentation, and Alan was on Connor's call presentation to Tallahassee. There's a new stormwater rule that's being developed, and they promised us early next year the rule will be developed that is basically looking at how stormwater is treated on airports. What they've done is big study through the University of Florida and some consultants that stormwater off of runways and taxiways and aprons don't have as much pollutants as people believe. So the type of treatment you need for that stormwater is different than what you would need for a road. Or on airports, we're trying to get away from DREs, being for wildlife attraction to jets. So we're coming with this overland flow method, which we heard about this morning, where you can get all your treatment off a runway or a taxiway within the green space between the edge of the taxiway to your inlet. So you don't need a DRA per se on the airport. So that's the new method that you're coming with.
That actually makes sense.
Sure.
you would think it's cleaner water than what's coming off the road, but it really is.
So that's part of the reason of not mixing because of the treatment types. If somebody brings in a development with a parking lot, they can't use the new guidance that they're coming out with.
Well, cars and so forth, you've got a lot more pollutants.
Yeah, a lot of people have it, they think it's opposite, but because of jet, you just think of jet fuel, but the studies have shown that
we've been able to test that on Jack's car, recently in Tallahassee, and it's the same Scott Brady with Hanson,
right?
But we've been able to use Jack's car in Tallahassee.
Yeah, all is not substantial, all is not developed yet. The agencies have been allowing engineers to submit projects under this type of permit.
So, Terry, to go back to your question, water isn't always water.
Let me ask one question. This is one, because I applaud the idea. This is 25 years too late. But, you know, we've been doing things, taking DREs and doing $1 a year. One of the biggest, to me, one of the biggest travesties out here in terms of developable land and so forth is right next door out here on 60th Avenue, where we have this huge block that could be used for T-Hammers or business or whatever, and we took the most valuable land we got essentially and turned it into a DRI. But there would be a time when that could be filled in and that water could be diverted somewhere else so that we could actually reclaim that land that's wasted out.
Now would be the time, you're right.
That would be nice.
Is that north of where we are right now? Just south, okay.
Right here.
We can.
This whole area here is a big DRA. And keeping these T-hangers and other development from here.
Okay.
And being able to occur. It's right on 68 Avenue. So if that could be moved, that would yield much more valuable lease property for the city.
Is that the DRA that gets stormwater from 60th?
No.
No.
It does not.
It's all airport.
It's all airport, all right.
Comes out of the T-hanger area, I would guess, primarily. And it was to the rules that were envisioned, maybe they're not quite as stringent.
Okay. That same general comment, I would assume would apply to any property that fronts 60th or 40th that's more.
Sure.
Visible, more developable type.
Just like that, if you and I owned it, we'd be looking to put the drainage retention there as far in the back as we could, but we put it right up on the main street.
Sure.
So that's it.
Yeah, there's another one on the land on this one too.
And it never holds water. This is some of the poorest farmland in Marion County out here.
That's water drainage land.
The population of it is.
We're growing sinkholes in Fort Ranch pretty good.
Thank you for being here.
Yeah, we're collecting soil warming, which Alan will tell you in a minute.
So in our analysis, we found of the 25 basins in the post-flood condition, six of them have portions of them that are not zoned for development. I say not zoned, using that term zoned lightly. The city has identified, and on this map, there are areas highlighted with the green boundary. The portions of the airport, which are zoned for industrial, commercial, or aviation. And there are certain basins that have portions of the airport property that don't fall into those green areas. And some of that is runway protection zone, which while it's zoned for airport, it's not zoned for airport development, it's runway protection zone. Some of it is property that's located to the north of the property, but south of, is the runway that runs east-west, is that 826?
Yes.
Okay, so a little bit south of 826, there's a space that's outside of the runway protection zone, but it's also outside of any of the zone areas for industrial or commercial. Another basin takes in stormwater from off-site properties. We have to account for the off-site that's coming on-site. We're not allowed to stop that flow.
Quick aviation, but the numbers on the runways correspond with the compass heading if you were flying in the direction of the runway.
So it's either 8 degrees or 2.
80
over 260.
180 degrees apart, but fine also, almost always that.
I don't guess you had to rename your number runways like Tampa then?
But there's a thing now because the Haganic line has shifted somewhat. Things are happening and they're actually changing the numbers on them.
Mm-hmm. I saw that. I remember that.
The magnetic heading was not right.
We also found, and interestingly, that the six basins, two of them are in aviation, two of them are in commercial, two of them are in industrial. Just happened to work out that way. Two additional basins I had to create simply because of their location. There wasn't an economical means of transporting the stormwater from this particular portion of the property, which is it's this side down here where 67th enters in off of 38th.
South end
of the property. There's two areas down there that there's not a means to transport the stormwater to the areas that the city had identified as basins being proper. And I highlighted those areas and we'll come up with a solution one way or another. There were two basins that, two lows that I had to create in this preliminary design to account for some stormwater generation. We brought up the new language that's coming out, the ERP and the...
Yeah, what is that saying?
It's out in draft form right now, and there's several workshops being held. One was today, there's several more in August. The final language we're hearing could be adopted in early 2013. This plan will comply with it. It currently complies with the draft language. And we're actively engaged in making monitoring any proposed changes. If any conflicts arise, we'll make note of it. We've also been in contact with SWPA, and the permit that they issue for this project will also be valid after the new language is adopted. So you won't be faced with a situation where you have a plan that's good this year and then not next year.
Answer your question.
Okay. Where we are right now with the pre-app, with the preliminary granted design, where we need to go, how do we get to the final? We're going to have another pre-application meeting with SWPA, go over the conceptual permit they're going to issue and let them know what our findings are here, listen to any input they have on this plan, submit a permit application for to SWPA, modify the analysis based on comments that we get from the city and from you all. We're going to take additional soil borings in every DRA that's proposed. We're going to take additional soil borings, include those in the model. It'll make the model more realistic, more efficient. So when we turn it over to the city, they'll have something that's based on some in-the-field measurements. We've got to present the final findings to the city in a workshop, and then work with the American Fresh Foods Consultant. There is 132 acres on the industrial portion that American Fresh Food has a plan for. Part of their plan includes recycling their stormwater. And that runs off their buildings, not their parking lots. They're gonna use the runoff from their buildings to water the tomatoes. We don't have a detailed plan of what that is yet from their consultant, but we're working with him. He's going to get us the information we need. We're going to incorporate this master plan, and that could reduce the amount of stormwater that has to be accounted for in that base. That'll be included in the final plan. Are there any additional questions? Does anybody want to take a look at the map?
Sure. That map is included in all the booklets.
Yes, it is. In segregated forms. What's in the booklets is you'll have a map that shows the aviation, the one that shows the commercial, and the one that shows the industrial.
Can you leave the maps here?
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. The audience
can look at
it. Yeah, there's two here actually. They're a little bit different. The one we've been referring to here is the existing base. Is that right, Al?
Yes.
And then the supposed bases are the ones the map underneath. And we can certainly explain it to anybody that needs it. If you have comments after today, I would suggest they probably go back through Matt.
Yes, please. And we're looking to return comments back to the consultant in about 2 weeks. So take a look at the plans. If you have any questions or comments, funnel those through me, and I can provide those to the consultant.
Anybody that's got anything, either tenants or any users, we can use that input as well. And one that I just gave is, I guess, similar to what you're looking for.
Absolutely. Yeah, everybody's got a different perspective here, and we're trying to, include everybody and let them know what we're doing and get the benefit of all that input.
When do you see this complete? You've gone home and the job's done.
Our city council workshop is right now scheduled for October. So that's, and we expect that we'll have a permit at that point. So, certainly before the end of the year.
Okay. Any thoughts? Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you. Showing us around. Okay, that completes your matter. You have more.
That completes mine. Phil Houghton from Ocala Jet came in. If we can just return back to him and give him an opportunity to maybe address the board, talk about his proposal.
First, I have to apologize. Matt didn't give you more warning. He was going to give you that today. Our last meeting was going to be presented later. We are a Cal Jet Center. We have recently negotiated a contract to purchase the assets of Landmark here at the Ocala Airport. We have presented to the city a business plan, and understand staff is going to meet on that later next week. And then after staff has met with it, we'll meet with staff, see their concerns and things, and go back to staff, make any corrections. Then we'll do a presentation to y'all of what the plan is, what staff is wanting, what we're planning on doing. You should have a copy of our business plan, I understand. You're welcome to review through it. Any comments, on them back to us, we appreciate those. And our main business plan is to enhance the Ocala Airport. That's it. You have any questions now?
No, I think looking at this, you know, from an informational standpoint, I don't know. But I think once you give this to the city, it's supposed to go or can go to anybody in the public.
Right. We hand it to them on Monday.
So that's not having it.
That wasn't an issue. It just, they told us, scheduled to hand it to you.
Okay.
And we weren't expecting it. I would have been here knowing that you were getting it.
I don't feel like we're cut out of it.
No. You weren't being cut out in any way. They just had given us a different schedule. Okay.
Jerry, you're actually getting it way ahead of time. We review it, then we give it to you after, so.
Exactly. But that, you know, it's up to the staff, then we'll take a quick look at it. Know what your time frame is, but we talked about it before, is it, we could meet it earlier today, if we needed to.
That would be great.
You gotta get through staff and then quickly through us and then the council, and then we'll see.
Yeah, we're on a timeframe with this contract. And as you may know, Randy Klein is representing us on this presentation to the city. So of course he will excuse himself and support for that. But he's been our attorney for quite a number of years.
Bill, so all that know this, it's a 90-day window?
90-day window.
Right.
From when we sign the contract. And just, we apologize for people not knowing about it ahead of time. But when we do a business deal like this, there's confidentialities that have to be signed. And we couldn't discuss it, they couldn't discuss it, until we had a contract.
How
then we announced it, right after we got the contract, we announced it.
Some reporter called me, and I'm like, called Matt.
Oh. Yeah, they're official.
They called all of our people, and they called all the landmarks.
You still like, can't help you.
They called me, and I told them I had no knowledge on it.
Somehow I got myself.
Okay, Chris, we'll look forward to everybody taking a look at this. The next thing is going to be staff comment back to us. And the requirement for a meeting,
right,
soon, but will occur either a month from now or Friday, and then we'll look at it at that time.
Yeah, it'll probably be prior to that.
Okay. And we're expecting staff to give us comments on where it needs to go. And, you know, if there's issues with what we've already presented, we expect that before we come to you. So we try to take care of staff's concerns before it ever comes to you. Okay.
Thank you very much.
That's it. I'll have the fuel and ops reports at the next meeting.
Okay. I had my agenda got all together. Are there comments? Anyone here? Anyone here wishing to appear who's not on the agenda? Okay, well, appreciate everyone attending today. We have our no longer special guest to come. We appreciate your being here. We treat you like family and we'll give you a hard time with the family show. Comments by individual board members?
No, sir.
What about a replacement? It was extended at the clerk's office. They haven't forwarded any other applications.
Well, one thing, and I would ask the other members of the community who are here, or folks that. Yeah, I've talked to a couple of people, I know some others have talked as well, at least one I was not the first person to call. But if you know people in the community who bring some kind of basic knowledge of airports or whatever, that meet the criteria, and the criteria are spelled out, that Matt has those or whatever, but basically you live in Erin County, you live in Ocala, have some kind of interest or involvement in the city of Ocala in some way, shape, or form. We appreciate any names of people that can bring something to the board when I'm sure. I don't think, I guess we haven't really advertised that. Or have we advertised?
We've advertised it on the airport Facebook page and through the clerk's office.
I'm not getting a rash of people coming into the office Facebook page.
Did one. They wanted a...
Maybe it's not why they're here.
They wanted a paying job.
I got a
first question.
All right, that's up.
This crew is paid handsome.
Give me free water.
Free water. Nothing's free. Okay, well, with that, we appreciate your being here, and thank you very much for the motion for adjournment.
I so will.
Yeah, my second one's standing here. Thank you very much for coming.